Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Tonight, I hope that each one will follow along in the Bible, a lot of scripture. But I want to take an inward look tonight, each one of us. It's what a psychologist calls introspection or a look of examination. This inward look, the scriptures set forth that they are a mirror, and we can get a picture of our lives and how they really are when we'll be honest and we'll look within. First of all, in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse number 18, Romans 1st chapter, verse number 18, we have the description of three classes of men or people, men and women. And the first one is the renegade sinner. Romans 1, beginning with verse 18 through verse 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness. Now, catch this. We use this for rank, reprobate, lost sinners. But who's he talking about here? He's talking about those that have had the truth and that hold it in unrighteousness. It could be a lost sinner or a saved sinner. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, these things that we can see and understand, and because we're without excuse, reveals God. Oh, wait a minute. It said it reveals the Godhead. That reveals to us and should reveal to everyone who crosses this path that there is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? He's the one God, and there's none else than him. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, man's a creation, and there are those that worship man, those that exalt and elevate man. And even God's people sometimes get caught up in looking to a man instead of looking to Jesus Christ, the man, the God-man, the one who has the power to make a difference and change things. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, having leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves their recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The renegade sinner. Then, in the second chapter of the book of Romans, beginning with verse 1, we have the respectable sinner. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. You got a word for that, I think. That's hypocrite. Hypocritical. God's people sometimes get to think they need to shape other people up. They need to straighten them out. They need to fix the problems. Listen, we do best to mind our own business and pray to God for them and set an example before them instead of trying, because if we try and force and coerce someone to do something, they do it because of us. And what they need to do is do it because of God. That's the whole bottom line there. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. In other words, let God take care of it. He can. He will. Reap what we sow. We can't get away from it. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, but thou shalt escape the judgment of God? None of us are special in that way. Where every man is special to God individually, but we're not special in the things that we do, good or bad. We're not special in the sight of God because we're just plain sinners. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Oh, I'm sorry. Either that or I'm puffed up and I showed them I'm right. Now, wait a minute. We don't have any goodness. The goodness of God is what leads men to repentance. And no matter how good we may think we are, our goodness is not going to lead anybody to repentance. We need to present the goodness of God. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God's still on his throne. God's still in control. We need to get self out of the way. We need to get man out of the way. We need to quit judging. We need to quit trying to straighten people out. We need to quit trying to straighten God's people out. And we need to let them be what they are to the best of their ability for the glory of God. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? Reap what you sow. Mark it down. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. You're not special. I'm not special. No respect of persons. You know what? And he tells us not to be a respecter of persons. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There's coming a day. He's the judge. He's the one that is to judge. This is the respectable sinner. Now, we have a religious sinner. Look at the 17th verse. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Now he's confronting the religious folks of the day, the religious sinner. We want to bang on our chests and see how good we are, how better we are. I don't think so. The Bible teaches us we're not. And the only thing we're doing is tearing ourselves down. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. We don't keep the law with our head or with our mind. We keep the law with our heart. There is a difference. And keeping the law is a spiritual thing. And listen, we cannot, as the Spirit through Matthew put it, we can't serve two masters. We'll either love the one or we'll hate the other. There's a lot of God's people trying to serve two masters. There's a lot of brethren that I miss dearly who tried to serve two masters. And before you know it, their kids drug them out of church, and they've been out of church, and they're still out of church. And just heard from Brother Sam's, a young man. His folks used to be devout and dedicated in the Lord's work, and they strayed away. They tried to live in the world and live in church. And brother, that double standard brought their children out. They had an older son who was called to preach. He never would surrender and do what God had called him to do because he was too busy in the world making money. He died at 50 years old, a young man, very young man. And now another young man of the family died at a very early age and a young age. Listen, you can't straddle the fence. It's like my first pastor told me. Excuse me for using myself as an example, but it's, at least I'm not gossiping about somebody if I'm talking about myself. But anyway, when I went forward and asked the church to baptize me, as we were leaving the building, he told me on the way out, he said, you know, a lot of people trying to straddle a fence, but he said, there's no fence there to straddle. He said, you're either on one side or you're on the other. And he said, before we baptize you, you need to make up your mind which side you're going to be on. And that just made me irritated. Went out a little while later, and it just kept me so irritated. I went over and I said, brother, I'm getting all the way in. Yeah. And thank God he gave me the grace. And every time I start to slip a little bit, I remember what my first pastor confronted me with, made me mad. But I'm thankful that he did, because it made me not only make up my mind, but purpose in my heart. You see, there's the difference. There's the key. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? It's because we're a member of a New Testament church. It doesn't make us special. It doesn't make us above. It doesn't make us better. Even if we keep the law with our head and with our mind and not with the heart. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now, there's the only thing that makes this church special. That's the only thing that makes the members of this church special, is the word of God, the truth. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that truth was committed to his New Testament churches. For what? If some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Listen, we want to follow one another. Yeah, we want to follow one another. Follow Jesus. We're followers of Jesus, not one another. You get to follow one another, next thing you know, we'll all wind up in a ditch. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, And as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Let us do evil that good may come. Don't work. It don't work. No matter how we justify evil doing, it don't work. No matter how. And listen, the only way to take care of evil doing, and that is our sins, is repentance toward God. That's for the lost and for the saved. It takes repentance toward God. And you know what? Repentance is left out of even the Lord's churches today in the main. There's no repentance, there's no salvation, there's no repentance, there's no eternal life. And Jesus, when he came preaching, he preached repentance. John the Baptist, his forerunner, came, he preached repentance. The disciples preached repentance. I'm sorry, don't get it. Got to be repentance. Got to be repentance. And you know what? It takes a godly sorrow. Sorry to God. Not sorry because I got caught. Not sorry because I've been exposed. Not sorry because of how people are going to look or what they're going to think. Sorry because it hurt God. And all sin hurts God. If we have that sorrow, it'll lead us to repentance. Not to be repented of, the Bible says. And that's the great need. Listen, these that we just considered here are very religious. They worship God with lip service. Look at Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where's your heart tonight? Are you in this situation? Now I'm asking me, am I in this situation? From time to time. Yeah. You see, because we're all sinners, we're not going to live perfect. I don't care what Christianity says. Once you're saved, you're perfect. That's what the Pharisees promoted. That's what the Sadducees promoted. The only difference between them was the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did. The rest of it, they believed just alike. Protestant and Catholics, there's not much difference in them either. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And there you have it. What's more important to you, the way that's right to man, to be accepted of man, or the way that God sets forth and then possibly be rejected? By the way, he said, those that live godly shall suffer persecution. He said he didn't come to bring peace on the earth. He came to bring a sword that would set father against son, mother against daughter, and so forth and so on. He come with the truth of God's word that he knew would set men at odds with each other, even of their own. So we need to either make up our mind, we're going to live it, we're going to set the example, and brother, we're going to look to the Lord fully, wholeheartedly, without reservation. I'm going to give my life to him. He called me to preach, and I had to give my life to him. But listen, he called you to preach, and you need to give your life to him. What's your life given over to now? Is it making money? Is it getting ahead? Is it enjoying the good life? We need to look and examine and see where we're at. And let the scripture examine and help us to see where we're at. They teach the doctrines of men. They pray. Look at Matthew 23 and verse number 14. Matthew chapter 23 And verse number 14, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. And then they also have a zeal. Matthew 23 and verse number 15. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. We see it all around us. I mean, listen, the fundamentalists, that's their theme. We've seen some of them pass our way. And they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. And they sacrifice, and they go out, and they preach on street corners and places. They have a zeal, but again, not according to knowledge. They observe works of righteousness. 23 and verse number 23 here. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have committed the weightier or have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Their lives outwardly are pure, but look at verse 23, again, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You see, when you get works, when you get good deeds, when you get good morals before repentance and faith, you're stuck. That comes after repentance and faith. Because when that comes before, you're working your way to heaven. And brother, that's not the way you get to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And that takes repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. And we're saved in Ephesians 2. Over there it tells us that we're saved in order to do good works. We don't get saved by good works. We're saved in order to do good works. So salvation come before the works. Their lives outwardly are pure. Look at 26. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. In other words, we don't clean up from the outside. And brethren, when you're witnessing to people, don't get on to them about their worldly ways, their earrings and their nose rings and all of this, their tattoos and things like that. Don't try to straighten them out and tell them it's wrong. Leave them alone. Preach the gospel to them. Get them saved. And when they get saved, they'll do like a lot of church members. They'll grieve because they got them stinking tattoos on them. And by the way, I haven't seen a pretty tattoo on anybody. And especially when you get to about 30, 40 maybe, they begin to look awful. Anyway, we don't major on that. We're not to clean up the outside. We're to give them what it takes to clean up the inside, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet they are defiled. Look at verses 27 and 28. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Where do you stand tonight? You really searched your heart? Are you serving the Lord with pretense? Are you serving the Lord with your head? Are you serving the Lord for some reason other than for his honor and his glory because he saved you? Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. They are under condemnation as well. Look at verse 33. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Can't do it that way. You can't do it cleaning up the outside. It's got to be inside. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That introspection that we're talking about, that inward look, must be done by the word of God, not by the doctrines and teachings of man, not what man has concluded is right and wrong. Because man concludes something that's right, and then later he's on the opposite side of it. It's just like Christianity stood against sodomy, and now a great bunch of so-called Christianity has taken it in and accepted it. Catholics used to have to eat fish on Friday, and they quit. There's a difference between God's word and using it, and there is the words and commandments of men. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. James 1, 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And by the way, this doing is to be with the heart. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Yeah, we look into God's word, we examine it. It convicts us. We're troubled. We're bothered. But then we go and it fades away. We lose that revelation of the condition we're in. It goes away because we don't do anything about it. What is it we do? We must repent and get it right with God. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Didn't he say, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord? He did say that. Then what are we going to do with it? Considering the scriptures tonight, where do you stand? Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't lie to yourself, but be honest. Is what I'm doing for the Lord and all fervent, is it from the heart, is for the glory of God, or is it to uplift myself? Is it to feed my ego? Make me feel good about myself. Do I have to boast about myself? Hey, there's nothing to boast about in me. I don't know about you. I'll tell you, the only thing we got to boast about is Jesus Christ, what he's done. That's the real thing. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to repent of your sins and by faith trust him. And that repentance is a willingness from the heart to turn from self and sin. Turn from whatever it is you're holding on to try to please God with, and accept what Jesus has done in order to please him. Because only what Jesus has done is going to please God on your behalf. And when we come before him, we have to come with that. Not with what we've done, or not with what we're intending to do, but it's what he's done. Let's stand. What should we sing, brother? As we sing tonight, the Spirit of God convicts your heart. Come to Jesus. But come, be honest. Only you and the Lord can honestly answer that, because only you and he knows. And if you think you don't know, deep down you really do. And if your heart's right with God, then you need to make yourself right with him by following your heart according to the scripture. Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention.